Let's continue reading chapter 33 of Genesis. In this chapter, Jacob meets Esau after 20 long years. God answered Jacob's prayers, and it is a peaceful meeting. Genesis 33, verse 1. Now Jacob lifted his eyes and looked, and there Esau was coming, and with him were 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two maidservants. And he put the maidservants and their children in front, Leah and her children behind, and Rachel and Joseph last. Then he crossed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted his eyes and saw the women and children and said, "Who are these with you?" And he said, "The children whom God has graciously given your servant." And then the maidservants came near, they and their children, and bowed down. And Leah also came near with her children, and they bowed down. Afterward, Joseph and Rachel came near, and they bowed down. Then Esau said, "What do you mean by all this company which I met?" And he said, "These are to find favor in the sight of my Lord." But Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." And Jacob said, "No, please, if I have now found favor in your sight, then receive my present from my hand, inasmuch as I have seen your face as though I had seen the face of God, and you were pleased with me. Please take my blessing that is brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." And he urged him, and he took it. Then Esau said, "Let us take our journey, let us go, and I will go before you." But Jacob said to him, "My Lord knows that the children are weak, and the flocks and herds which are nursing are with me. And if the men should drive them hard one day, all the flock will die. Please let my Lord go on ahead before his servant. I will lead on slowly at a pace which the livestock that go before me and the children are able to endure until I come to my Lord in Seir." And Esau said, "Now let me leave with you some of the people who are with me." But he said, "What need is there? Let me find favor in the sight of my Lord." So Esau returned that day on his way to Seir. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth, or Sukkot, built himself a house, and made booths for his livestock. Therefore the name of the place is called Succoth. Then Jacob came safely to the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Paddan Aram. And he pitched his tent before the city. And he bought the parcel of land where he had pitched his tent from the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. Then he erected an altar there and called it El Elohi Israel. Once again, a few background notes. After the wrestling match with the angel of the Lord, Jacob moved forward to meet Esau. But when Jacob saw Esau on the horizon coming with 400 men, he quickly divided his family and put his favorite wife, Rachel, and favorite son, Joseph, in the position that was the most protected. Then Jacob went ahead and gave Esau a greeting fit for a king. He bowed all the way to the ground 7 times as he neared Esau. He said to Esau in verse 10, "I have seen your face as though I had seen the face of God." Now, maybe Jacob was overdoing it a bit here, but this would be considered a very honorable greeting in that culture. Well, it all worked out for a peaceful meeting, as we see there in verse 4. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. God answered Jacob's prayer. Jacob urged Esau to accept his large gift, and Esau finally did. Now, this was important, because in that culture, once a gift like this was accepted by one of the feuding parties, it meant that the feud was over and forgotten. Now, at this point, Esau urged Jacob to join him on the trip home, the trip back to Seir. "Come on, Jacob, let's travel back together." "No," says Jacob, "I've got the wives and the kids who are weak and all these animals. We can't move quickly. You go ahead. I'll follow at a slower pace." "Well," said Esau, "okay, but at least let me leave some of my people with you to help you out." "Oh, no," said Jacob, "that won't be necessary. We'll do just fine by ourselves. You go ahead. I'll follow later." And so Esau goes on. No sooner has Esau left the camp than Jacob turns around and goes in the opposite direction. As soon as Esau was out of sight, Jacob turned around and went in the opposite direction and settled at this place called Succoth or Sukkot, as we see there in verse 17. In other words, Jacob lied to Esau. He had no intention of following Esau. All that talk about the wives and the children and the animals was just a smokescreen. Something we would never do, right? Well, that brings us then to our doctrinal points for this chapter of Genesis. Doctrinal point number one, Jacob is not Israel. Jacob is not Israel. Now, what do we mean by that? Remember that after the wrestling match in chapter 32, God changed Jacob's name to Israel. Jacob means supplanter or grasper or cheater, which Jacob was. Israel means prince with God or prevails with God or God prevails. In any case, the name change indicates a change in Jacob's life and the fact that God was working in his life. However, from that point on, Jacob is not always called Israel. Sometimes the inspired text refers to him as Israel, but sometimes, as here in chapter 33, the scripture refers to him as Jacob. The point is that although Jacob has come a long way in the school of God, the old Jacob is still there. Sometimes he acts in line with his new name, Israel. Sometimes he acts in line with his old name, Jacob. Jacob and Israel are not synonymous. Jacob is not Israel. Now, do you see the spiritual lesson here for us? We're all like Jacob when it comes to our sinful human nature. We're self-centered and out for number one. We may even cheat and deceive and lie as Jacob did. Now, when we become Christians, we're given a new nature, a divine nature, which prevails with God. But as long as we are on this earth, in these fleshly bodies, the old Jacob is still around. And many times, like Jacob, we act in line with our old sinful natures and not in line with our new divine natures. The new nature is not the old nature reformed. No, Jacob is not Israel. The new nature is brand new. It's part of the package of salvation. The old nature is never reformed, and it is there until we receive our resurrection bodies. And that old nature will dominate us if we don't live in line with the new divine nature that we have. We can be carnal Christians. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's not distort this biblical truth. As believers, we have two distinct natures, the new divine nature, but also the old sinful nature. Remember, Jacob is not Israel. Doctrinal point number two. Shechem is not Bethel. Shechem is not Bethel. In verse 17, we see that Jacob lived for a while at Succoth or Sukkot. He built a house and barns there. This place was on the east side of the Jordan River. So Jacob was still not back in the land where God wanted him. But then in verses 18 and 19, we see that Jacob moved across the Jordan River and back into the land at a place called Shechem. He even built an altar here, as we see there in verse 20, and called it El Elohi Israel, meaning God, the God of Israel. But Shechem is not Bethel. Jacob would have all kinds of problems at Shechem. Jacob's life would not be blessed at Shechem. We believe that God wanted Jacob to return to Bethel. Go back, if you will, to Genesis 31 and verse 13, where God told Jacob to return home. Genesis 31, 13, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your kindred. And then look over at Genesis 35 and verse 1. This is what God says when Jacob is finally ready to leave Shechem. Then God said to Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. In other words, Jacob, don't stay here in Shechem. I wanted you to go back to Bethel. Arise, go to Bethel and dwell there, not here at Shechem. Make an altar there, not here at Shechem. Go back to Bethel. Do you see the spiritual lesson? When Jacob settled in Shechem, it was partial obedience. Oh, he was back in the land. Oh, he built an altar there. But Shechem is not Bethel. God wanted Jacob to come back to Bethel. As Lot, you remember, settled in Sodom for what he could gain from Sodom, so Jacob settled in Shechem for what he could gain from Shechem. But Jacob's life was not blessed at Shechem, because that is not where God wanted him. Shechem is not Bethel. Now, how is it in our lives? Where are we in our walk with the Lord? Are we at Bethel, where God wants us? Remember, Bethel means house of God. Or are we at Shechem? Shechem represents partial obedience. Are you living in Shechem or Bethel? Do you have a Christ-centered home or just a Christian home? There is a difference. Do you have family devotions or just come to church on Sunday? Does the spiritual growth of your family take priority over your job and career? Are you living in Shechem or Bethel? There is a difference. Shechem is not Bethel. We have two practical applications, a do and a don't. Let's take the don't first. Practical application number one, don't rehash past mistakes. Don't rehash past mistakes. Jacob and Esau had a peaceful reunion. Notice that they did not rehash the past. Jacob's attitude and gift to Esau conveyed that he was sorry for what he had done. Esau forgave Jacob without demanding that he kneel down and formally apologize. They were able to have a peaceful reunion. They didn't rehash the ugly past detail by detail. This is a good lesson here for us. We don't sweep past mistakes under the rug, but we don't have to bring them up again and again and again and relive them. I know an older Christian woman right now who cannot live at peace. She does not have rest of soul. She refuses to let go of some past family mistakes. She relives the situation over again and again. It's sad. She doesn't have to. Don't rehash past mistakes. Great lesson here. Practical application number two. Do stand behind your word. Do stand behind your word. Jacob told Esau that he was going to follow him back there to Seir, and then probably move across and back to where Isaac was. He lied. He did not stand behind his word. He should have been more truthful with Esau. Well, how does that apply to us? Do our families and friends and colleagues know us as Christians who stand behind our word? Do stand behind your word.